come before thee again this evening with thanksgiving in our hearts for thy continued goodness and mercy to us. We thank thee, O Father, for such a goodly company gathered here this evening under the sound of thy precious word. And O Lord God, at the very outset of this another gospel meeting, our eyes should be upon thyself, from whence cometh our help. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt be pleased to draw very near. Shut us in with thyself tonight. Grant, O God, that every distracting thought might be shut out, and our Father, that each of us might be brought to hear the voice of the God with whom we have to do. We remind, O God, that each of us here this evening are passing through the scene of time, journeying from time into eternity. And, O God, someday, perhaps very soon, we must stand before thee, O holy, sin-hating God. And we believe, O God, that in a coming day, we'll stand before thee, either clothed in the righteousness of thy beloved Son, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed and made clean, and we'll stand before thee in our sins, guilty, condemned before a holy God. O Father, with these solemn issues of faith, we do pray that thou come very near this evening, and as thy servant would open thy word, we pray, O God, that thou give help from thyself. Grant, O God, the power and presence of thy Spirit in our midst this evening. Lord, that every heart might be searched. Each of us, O God, might realize just how we stand before thee. And, O Father, if there be one in our midst tonight, still unforgiven, still in their sin, still in that broad road that leads down to a lost eternity, Lord, that this very night their need might be met, the sin-blinded eyes might be opened, they might realize their true condition before thee, and, O Lord God, that they might come to the Savior. We thank thee, Father, for such an offer of mercy. We thank thee for thy way of salvation. O Lord God, we bless thee again tonight for the assurance that thy Son, out of love for us, the fallen creatures, left the height of glory, came into this scene, and went all the way to Calvary. There, O Lord God, at Calvary's middle tree, we thank thee that he took our place. He died in our guilty Roman state. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We bless thee, O Lord God, that there on the cross he finished the work that thou gave him to do. We remember his cry, O Lord God, it is finished, as he bowed his head and yielded up the ghost. We bless thee, O Lord God, tonight that the cross is empty, the tomb is empty. He lives in the power of endless life. He fills the throne of love. He fills it without wrong. The object of his Father's love, the theme of angel song. Lord, we bless thee tonight from his outstretched hand and glory. He invites the poor sinner to come and receive forgiveness. We do pray for thy help, O Lord God, in the presentation of the gospel tonight. And Lord God, that none may leave this meeting still undecided, still in their sins, but that each one, O Lord God, in true repentance, might go before him, acknowledge their need, and accept him as their own and personal Savior. We do look to thee for thy blessing, O Lord God, tonight, and wherever thy word is preached, Lord, remember it tonight, and glorify thy name in the preaching of the gospel, we pray thee. Thus we ask now as we come up and commend ourselves to thee with our thanksgiving in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.
Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, has he not on that admission, sinner, will you let him in? Now before we sing 122, keeping our seats again, I just want to say that we're very encouraged, greatly encouraged tonight, to see all the friends who have come along under the sound of the preaching of the gospel on this, the last night of this special series of gospel meetings. Now we give each one a very, very warm welcome indeed to our meeting tonight. We thank the friends for coming. Some have been here before and have come back again tonight. We give you a warm welcome indeed. But possibly there are some here who have not been here before at this time of meetings. We give you a very special welcome to the meeting tonight. And may God bless saint and sinner alike. opportunity to thank all the Christians in this community associated with the assembly here in Scalloway for their kindness to me at this time. We take the opportunity to say a very warm word of thanks to all the Christians for their hospitality, for fellowship we've enjoyed in their homes, for the many occasions we've enjoyed times together with the Christians in Scalloway. We take the opportunity again, I say, to say a very warm word of thanks. But then we have another announcement tonight. I purpose in the will of the Lord going up to Sillaville and one or two other places tomorrow and continuing there for a few nights and days in the gospel. But we have another announcement for Sunday evening here. Mr. Finlay Houston, I understand, from Lerwick, is going to be here on Sunday night at 6:15. The new friends who are attending our meetings here, will you keep in mind that the gospel is still proclaimed every Sunday night in this hall at 6:15 for the preaching of the gospel. And the friends in the assembly here have asked me to give a very cordial invitation that you'll still continue to come every Sunday night at 6:15 under the sound of the preaching of the gospel. And who knows that even after the preacher here is away, God may still bless. The Spirit's voice may still be heard. That God in His grace will water the seed that has been sown in the salvation of the sinner. Now these are the announcements. Again, we say this is our last hearing, and we ask the Christians to pray very earnestly tonight that God will bless us on this last night of special gospel meetings. Now we're going to sing the hymn together, 122. chapter 23. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, and verse number 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I want to read another verse in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 27 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Now commandeth all men everywhere see again. They have very much to say against Christ. Some tell us he was only a human hero. Some teach us today, as they go round our doors, that he was only a son of God. Some tell us that he never was in the bosom of the Father. Some teach us today that as he moved upon earth in the performing of the miracles of power, that he was some fantastic hypnotist. I want to tell you tonight, if you have any doubts in your mind and heart relative to the ability of Christ as a redeemer tonight, there can be no possible salvation for you. I want to say something very clear from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. There are certain people who commit the terrible, solemn sin that the Bible calls the sin unto death. Do you know what the sin unto death is in 1 John 5:16? The sin unto death in 1 John 5:16 is the man or woman who denies truth relative to the blessed person of Christ. I want to read that clear tonight. In John's epistle, there are men like the people who are moving round our doors today, they knock the door. When you ask them the question about the blessed Redeemer, about the man of Calvary, about the sinlessness of Christ, about the deity of Christ, about the pre-existence of Christ, about the preeminence of Christ, about the purity of Christ, about the provision of Christ, they're not prepared to accept any of these things relative to the blessed person of Christ. I say solemnly tonight, I believe from all my heart tonight, that the sin unto death is a man or woman that would deny anything relative to the blessed man of Calvary. There's no salvation for you tonight. I am speaking plain and pointed. And I say to you tonight, if you ever land in hell, and I pray you'll never land there, but if you ever land in hell because you've rejected Christ, and that's why you will land there, as you look back to this closing meeting in 1970, you'll be telling yourself in hell, the man on the platform never preached faithful enough. I tell you that tonight. If you spend eternity in the lake of fire, you'll actually accuse me tonight for not preaching faithful enough. I believe that from all my heart. I say, sinner friend, in this meeting, what think ye of Christ? Not me, not the other Christians in this meeting. Now you may go outside and say, well, if these people are Christians, so am I. You may point the finger at me and others tonight and say, well, I'm as good as them. You may say, well, if these men are going to heaven, so am I. Your life may be and could be far better than mine. But oh, beloved friend tonight, I'm emphasizing and re-emphasizing now, not what you think of us or me, what think ye of Christ. I'm going to ask you something tonight. Can you point the finger at Christ? That blessed, sinless man. This man in Luke 23, he had doubts in his mind and heart relative to the lovely person of Christ. Come down from the cross. You know, I never die of thinking of that beautiful expression to be found in Nehemiah 6. A certain company of men said to Nehemiah one day, come down! Come down! Nehemiah says, I they are brought onto the Christ of God. Can you look at this man again, the man that's careless, the man that's about to pass from time to eternity, the man that's about to go out into hell, oh sadly and sorrowfully to tonight, the man that's about to go into that terrible place of torment, the man that's lived his life as a sinner, a thief, a robber, a malefactor, a man that has never done anything good in his life. The man has done everything bad and sinful and terrible and corrupt. But here he is, as he's about to go out, he says to the Christ of God, "Calm down. You know, I'll say to that, I believe the Christ of God said to that man, although he's not left the record for us, I am doing a great work. Therefore, I cannot come down." Let me tell you something tonight. If the blessed Christ of God had come down from that cross without dying there, every one of us in this meeting room, what would your cross mean? Nothing but the lake of fire. I say hallelujah tonight. He could not come down because he was doing a great work. What work? The work of redemption. I ask you tonight in passing, and I want to have you on. Beloved friend in this meeting, if the foundation of the building is wrong, everything's wrong. If the solid foundation manifests a defect, the whole building and structure is wrong. I want to say tonight, in a simple yet with joy in my heart, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Thank God for a solid foundation in the blessed man of Calvary tonight. You know, a friend of mine was preaching the gospel in Ireland, and as he was quoting such words, a very clever young man came over and said, "Tell us something about the shamrock." My friend went on in a simple way to say, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are shamrocks." I tell you tonight, beloved friend, let us lay a right foundation down. If you're not prepared to accept and build for eternity upon the blessed person of Christ and his work at Calvary, there's no heaven for you. There's no heaven for you at all. You know, I remember a young man saying to me at work one day, preaching the gospel to the young man. He said, "You know, Jim, he says, I'm just going to be like the thief at the cross." And I said to that young man, "Tell me, John, which one?" Oh, I knew what he meant, all right. He wanted to be like the thief that got saved at the cross. But I simply pointed out to that young man, there were two robbers at Calvary, and only one trusted Christ. Oh, the young man went on to say, "On my deathbed, I'll turn to Christ. He may never have a deathbed." My mother died with cancer in the brain. She lay in the Victoria Hospital in Fife for 7 days, unconscious. We all stood around. so much time, his body would be hanging lifeless on that cross of Calvary, but yet he still rejected the blessed forgiveness. You know why? Because the God of this age that blinded his mind all his life through still continued to blind his mind at the very last moment of his life. I tell you, beloved friend, what the Savior's came with tonight. God in heaven above has done everything possible for your salvation to get you to Christ. The devil and his meeting today has tried everything possible to keep you back from Christ. The God in heaven above has done everything possible that he may land you in heaven. The devil in this meeting tonight is doing everything possible to land you in hell. We remember that. In his closing moments on this side, he still spurned and rejected. In fact, the Bible in Matthew's Gospel tells us that it does here that he railed on Christ. What think ye of Christ? I want to say now a word about the other one. I want to say a word about the other malefactor. I want you to know that one or two things have suggested something relative to their condition. Both sinners. Both lived their lives together. Both plundered, robbed, sinned, stole, murdered, the Bible even says. I tell you tonight, the authorities in our land would do well to take heed to how things were handled in Bible days. For these two men that took life, their life was taken. We could do with that today, I'll tell you. Crime is on the increase. Sin is rampant. Because the death penalty from the lips of men have been set aside. I want to say something. The death penalty for sin from the throne of God will never be, and never can be, and never could be, and never will be set aside. You may commit sin here, and the most clever judge and the most intelligent jury give a wrong verdict. In Acts 17, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that same blessed man that died of Calvary. The condition of these men, examine your heart, life tonight, young, old, middle-aged, examine your heart in the presence of God tonight, and you must come up and confess simply that you're a guilty sinner. Is that not true? I'm just that, you know. You know, it would be embarrassing for me tonight to tell you all the sins I've committed in my life. I'll just tell you about a single one thing that I thank God for his grace tonight. Let me tell you one thing that I did as a young man of 14. I broke into an old woman's house one night just to steal money of her purse. An old, deaf, blind woman of 80 years of age. I feel like Paul in Romans 6 tonight, of which things you are ashamed. I stole and broke into that old woman's house, an old widow woman, 80 years of age, blind, deaf. Stole money of her purse. You know why? Because the power of sin ever attracted me to the gambling dens. Stole money just to get money to gamble at 14 years of age. I tell you tonight, I tell you honestly tonight, oh, that you and I will examine ourselves in God's presence tonight. We're all guilty in this meeting tonight. And I, in the language of the hymn writer, I'm only a sinner, saved by sovereign grace. I can look back to that occasion, you know, with joy in my heart tonight. Now, that day when I took a long look at the Christ of God, and I claimed him as my own personal Savior. Oh, young friend, old friend tonight, confess your guilt and turn to the true mediator, the sail the high seas, when you go about your daily calling associated with the sea, do you ever fear God? Is there a true conviction in your spirit, soul, heart, relative to the fear of God? Or are you like this man here, like the people in Romans chapter 3 that are guilty of all these terrible sins? No fear of God before their eyes. I tell you tonight, beloved friend, this man, the second malefactor in this passage, he fears God. You know why? Because he's verily conscious in his own spirit that he must meet God someday. Remember that? Oh, I know you'll tell me tonight, 6 feet under, that's that, you know. That's what they're saying tonight, the world. That's what they're saying as a sort of a balm to their conscience. 6 feet under, and that's everything all right. I want to say three simple things tonight. I tried to illustrate the very point with a young man one day, a young married man. Him and his wife were out of their house. And speaking about these spiritual things, oh, he said, 60 under, and that's all right, everything's finished, just like the dog. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I asked that young man one question. I said, now look, George, you're away from your house today, you and your wife. Is there anyone in the old house? He says, there's nobody in. I said, why? He says, because the tenant's out. I want to tell you something. When the old playhouse is taken down, when the old body that you're dwelling in tonight goes 6 feet under, remember, the tenant's gone. Remember that. Don't kid yourself on, you know. You know, my wee girl at home, Priscilla, she's always saying things. She says, I'm just kidding, you know, Daddy. I tell you, there's no kidology here. If ever there is stark reality, it's the time when the old clay house goes 6 feet under, but the tenant's gone. I ask you the language of the poet tonight, when they're bound. Is it to the many mansions? When they have no rest, it's found. Are they going to be hell? I ask you tonight, as you sit and listen to me tonight, as you sit and look at me through your eyes tonight, remember, you're the tenant that's listening to the message tonight, not an old body. Whenever the tenant goes, you know, I was going on the street today, giving a leaflet and inviting people to the meeting. And I discovered as I went up the street, one or two old houses. As we went further over, we discovered one or two empty houses. And we simply said to ourselves, look at the house. It's decaying because there's no tenant with it. Why does the old body decay? Why does John 11 say, by this time he's... why does the body disintegrate? Because the tenant's gone. The tenant's gone. Go along to old property. And why is it old? Why is it dilapidated? Because the tenant's gone. I say tonight, friend, that's a question of the 60 under. You may kid yourself on in time, but you'll realize that there's no chronology in eternity. This man feared God. Why? Because he knew that he must meet God someday. One word from the minor prophet tonight. Prepare to meet thy God. Allow God's spirit to let the word sink in tonight. You're going to meet God someday. There is a God to meet. An account to give. An eternity to peace. A day of reckoning that must come. You can't escape it. This man fears God because he knows that in a few hours' time he's going into the stark realities of eternity. Thirdly, I want you to know this. The man is prepared to condemn himself. We notice that in the passage. We are in the same himself condemned God. But the man that condemns himself justifies God. We are in the same condemnation. I ask you tonight, friends, do you realize that the sentence of death is upon you tonight? That's what the man really means. In Luke 23, this man really means that we are in the same condemnation. The sentence of death is passed upon us. Oh, but you see, I'm here and happy tonight. I hope to live for a long time yet. You know what the Bible says, John 3:17? He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Remember that. In the book of the Psalms, God looks down, he sees the prisoner in the prison house. I want you to notice the solemn word that the psalmist uses in this verse. Those who are appointed to death, they're not in the prison for 3 months. They're in the death cell. That's good, huh? Oh, beloved friend, could I tell you tonight? You're in the death cell now. The Bible says you're condemned already. The sentence has been passed. The judge has donned the black cap. The sentence upon you is guilty. What are you going to do? Who's going to liberate you out of the death cell? From the death sentence? There's only one blessed person that can give you a full and free pardon tonight. And I'll tell you something. It's been signed by the Spirit of God. And it's been written by the blood of Christ. That's the only pardon that can give you liberty tonight. There was a young man who fell into the water one day, couldn't swim a stroke. He called for mercy, he called for a savior. Another young man jumped in, pulled the young man out, saved him from a watery grave. The young man thanked the savior. They parted company, went their ways. Some years later, many years later, the same young man who was drowning that day, who was saved from a watery grave, he stood in the high court, condemned for murder. The judge donned the black cap, looked at the accused, and said, guilty to die. The young man that was condemned with a tear in his eye and a lump in his throat, he said to the judge, do you not remember me? No, the judge says, we see so many, I can't remember you, friends. He says, I'm the young man you saved from a watery grave many years ago. And the judge, with tears running down his face, he said, friend, that day I was your savior. Today, I am your judge. Beloved friend of this being, would you grasp this with both hands in your heart tonight? The blessed man of Calvary that wants tonight to be your savior is the same man someday that will be your judge. Oh, you repent of that tonight. Will you remember, as you take a look at Christ tonight, the man on the middle tree? Will you remember in the language of Luke 23? That the other malefactors prepared to confess that he's in the same condemnation. The sentence of death is on his head. But tonight I want you to know this. The man's prepared to look to Christ in perfect confidence. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, friend, tonight I ask you, where are you now in relation to this? Are you still going to try in self-confidence? This man realized he can never save himself, but with perfect confidence in the Christ of God, he says, Lord, you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, but are you going to leave the meeting and still thinking, well, I can get there all right. I have confidence in myself. I'll get that they're okay. I think I'll recover all right, confident in yourself tonight. The story spoke simply about these two preaching men that were going across this field. They saw a big ram on the face of a cliff. They went and told the local shepherd, told him, look, there's a big ram up there. You better go and get it down. It's in danger. Shepherd says, that's all right. That's all right. A few days later, they came back and the ram's still up there. They go to the shepherd again and say, friend, look, the ram's up there in a place of danger. Why are you not going and getting it down? The shepherd says, look, friends, if I go up there just now and try and take that ram down, it will kick and struggle and struggle. It's got confidence in its own strength. He says, I'm just waiting until all the kick is out of the ram, until it lies down submissively. And he says, then I'll go and put it on my shoulders and bring it safe home. I want to tell you tonight, you forget now, if you forget everything else I've said to you, will you forget this one point that's in your mind tonight? You forget forever that you've got the strength and self-confidence to take you over to the other side, into heaven itself. God, like the man here, is working with you in this meeting tonight. And he wants you to understand that you must get all the self-kick out of yourself tonight and be submissive and depend entirely upon the Christ of God. That's what it means. That's what the gospel means tonight. That you must come humbly, simply, in a contrite spirit, confessing your guilt, realizing there's no heaven for you on your own strength. Did we not emphasize the first week of the meetings here? They're in the light of John 3:13. No man has ascended up to heaven. You'll never get there with your own strength and self-confidence. I say tonight, beloved friends, and see the time of God. Will you not come in a contrite way tonight and say, Lord, cry to that blessed person. Lord, remember me. One time in a boat, the disciples all said the same thing. Lord, save us! But there came another time in the same boat when one man cried, Lord, save me. This malefactor here, he says, Lord, oh, that's the person tonight. Get to Christ tonight. Get to the Redeemer of Calvary tonight. Lord, remember me. Listen to the blessing words of the Savior. Today, thou shalt be with me in marriage. What I tell you something? This man died in the company of one bad man and one perfect good man. That's in time and death. But thank God in eternity the man's going to be in the good company of the Christ of God forever and ever. Today, thou shalt be with me. Would you like to be in the company of Christ for eternity? Or would you rather be in the company of those who are in hell? With me. With me. What a blessing. We'll see now, in the light of Proverbs 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I have announced the meeting on Sunday night for Finlay Wilson to come and speak. You may never be here on Sunday night. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what one day, the day of privilege, the day of possibility, may bring forth. Lastly, in Acts 17, a day of punishment. Notice the three attitudes to the gospel now, in closing. The first group said, they mock. That those who despise Christ tonight, they mock. Are you going to despise Christ? The second group said, we will hear thee again. That's the group who delay tonight. But the Bible says in verse 40, and some believe, that's those that decide tonight. Are you going to be among those that despise Christ? Are you going to be among those that delay about a decision? Oh, I trust and pray tonight that you will be in the third group who are going to decide for Christ. Death is coming. Coming, coming. On the judgment day. Friend, I treat you with love in my heart and with a closing meeting. Don't you delay any longer. You decide for Christ tonight. 2 Corinthians 6, behold, now is the day of salvation. I do trust and pray you'll decide now for the judgment of Christ. Shall I pray? Our God and Father, at the close of our meeting, we come to thee again and mention the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we would ask thee sincerely and humbly tonight to touch some heart in our being. Oh, Father, bring some sinners young of old to the blessed person of Christ. We ask these things again now for the glory of the man of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be a hymn together for the story of time. It's a little bit over, but we'll take the time to sing two verses of this, 124, verse 1 and 3, after waiting till tomorrow, thou mayest never see its light. Come at once, accept his mercy. He is waiting. Come. Tonight, we're going to sing him 1, 2, 4, verses 1 and 3, and the chorus, keeping our seats, and then the meeting's over.